Morning. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Pocono Raceway for another great race weekend here with the Gander RV 400. I'm joined here by several key people who work here at our staff. Of course, everyone knows our CEO, Nick Udalski, our president, Ben May, and joining us from NASCAR, our friend Scott Miller. Today we have a very exciting announcement about our 2020 Pocono Raceway NASCAR doubleheader event weekend. First, I'm going to turn it over to Nick. Nick, why don't you go over a little bit what the fans, the media, the drivers, and the team should expect from a schedule standpoint.
Yeah, and just to phrase everything here, we're not going to go in too much details on times. There's a lot that's still in flux, but we're going to give you the meat since everyone's gathered here. We feel it's a great opportunity while our fans are gathered here to give them the information while they're here on property. So basically, we're going to start the weekend on Thursday, June 25th, will be ARCA Day. ARCA will be on track for practice, qualifying, and races. They'll have the show to themselves while our early camper crowd checks in. It'll be the general tire, anywhere as possible, 200. ARCA Menard Series event. On Friday, June 26th, we're going to have two series on track, and this will basically be the Saturday event. Your NASCAR Cup Series will be on practicing, and they will also qualify a single car impound. Your NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series will also be on track for their practice and qualifying on Friday. Now we move into Saturday and what we consider what we're calling Race 1. Saturday Race 1 day. We'll start with Xfinity Series practice, followed by the Gander Outdoor Truck Series race, 80 laps, 200 miles. Later in the afternoon, the NASCAR Cup Series race 1. There's a little flux here. The race length is tentative at this point. There's been some slight changes. We need to check off a few more boxes. We're shooting for a 350-miler on that one, but that one may flex a little bit. Sunday, June 28th, we're going to start with the Xfinity Series qualifying. Then we're going to move to the Xfinity Series race, and they're going to run 90 laps, 225 miles. And the grand finale will be the NASCAR Cup Series Race 2 on Sunday afternoon for 140 laps, 350 miles, and that is confirmed.
Thank you, Nick. The ARCA Series race, by the way, is going to be a 200-mile event. Kicking it over here to Ben May. Ben, our president. Ben, what should the fans expect in terms of any changes to ticket pricing, anything that's happening in terms of our changes to our policies, as well as what's in store for renewal guests who have 2019 NASCAR event weekend tickets?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. As we, as you guys know, we're a family-owned business. We take a lot of pride on value and entertainment. So carrying that forward, we will have no changes in our ticket prices. Nothing, zero, zilch. Same prices, more show, same money. Kids 12 and under will still be free, and we will continue to offer our worry-free weather guarantee. So three huge pieces that we're proud to announce for that doubleheader weekend. The Thursday and Friday ticket price will be $10. Again, kids free, so great value there. Looking at renewals. We offer a 20% renewal discount to our current customers, have forever. We're going to offer that, but we're going to offer more. We're going to carry that for them for both days or either day. So should our fans choose to renew a Saturday Cup Series Day ticket and add a Sunday Cup Series Day ticket, they will receive 20% off both tickets. So, again, very proud of that. We're excited for 2020. We can't wait to see what this looks like, and we keep calling it a race fan's dream bucket list event. So that's spectacular. Our fans will be treated to a digital process. So historically, we've mailed invoices. This year, we'll be going to a digital process that will allow them to move, upgrade, and have a little fun with their seats, change seats, add days, and so forth and so on. Our camping crowd, we're going to work off of seniority. So a lot of respect for the folks here that have been with us for 20, 30 years in the same spot. So they'll be handled on a personal touch, on an individual basis. So all of our camping customers will be reached out to by our ticketing team. And the big news in our camping is we're going to expand. So it doesn't mean you're not going to have a spot. We're going to ring our fence line camping that currently stops right outside of turn two all the way through turn one. Expand the turn one lot, do some work there to make sure it's in proper shape for everybody, that we can accommodate all campers that are currently with us in June and again in July. So those are our two big announcements to our fans there, and we're real excited.
If I could just chime in, we went down and looked at turn one a little while ago, and if you guys haven't gone down there and watched cars go by inside turn one, that's going to be the best camping spot in the house.
Thank you, Nick. Turning it over to Scott. Scott, obviously a lot of moving parts with this, a lot of collaboration, which I think has been ongoing since January, February, if not earlier. Talk a little bit about the collaborative effort between the sanctioning body, the broadcast partners, Pocono as a track, and, of course, the drivers and teams.
Well, this is obviously the first time that any of us have really attempted something of this nature with a doubleheader weekend, and obviously a lot of challenges and a lot of collaboration to get to this point. Still have some work to do on, you know, some of the finite details of the rules for the competition bit and all that. But just an overview there. The teams are going to use the same car for both races, and they will we will qualify them on Friday for race one, impound them, and have our race on Saturday, race one, and then after that we will give the competitors back their cars, and they can do all of their maintenance. They can't really run the 700 miles without having their cars back for just general service and all that. So we will give the cars back. They will likely change valve springs and work on any slight damage or whatever from the race, do all the maintenance to prepare for the 350-mile race two. And for the starting lineup for race two, we are going to something new, something that I think is going to be exciting for the fans. We are going to invert the cars that were on the lead lap in race one for the starting order. Lap down cars will start behind those. That's something new. It's been it's funny that one of our prominent drivers was kind of the original champion of that concept, and we kind of looked at each other and said, I'm not sure everybody will buy into that. And actually, everybody did. It was pretty universally accepted as kind of a cool way to go and something that we thought would put on a good show. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of the Cup deal, and it'll be really good having all of our series here and the Gander trucks and the Xfinity series kind of being the lead in to the Cup races on both days of the weekend.
Thank you very much, Scott. We're going to open up the questions, and like Nick had mentioned, obviously there are still some moving parts that are not fully known. There are some technical things that we may or may not have answers to, but we'll get started here. So we'll take the first question right here. Zach? Microphone up here. Thank you.
Zach Sterniel, the Pocono Record, French Rose. Nick, when setting this all up, I know we spoke and you said 350 was the goal. Why aim for that as a distance? Did you not want to chop off more than that? What was the mindset there going into it?
Well, 400 is my ultimate goal, but it's not realistic running the same car that lap. So the goal is give the fans as many laps as they possibly get, many miles as they possibly can get for their dollars. That's it.
Question there.
Darrell Kinsey Jr., WBGR Sports. This question is for Scott Miller. Scott, if a car receives damage during that first race, what will be the procedure for them to possibly go to a backup car?
Well, it won't be any different than what we do today. Today, when there's an incident that warrants a backup car, the series director has to sign off on whether or not the damage is sufficient to let the team use a backup car, and that really won't be any different for that event.
Any questions? We have one all the way in the back.
This is for Nick. Since you were I guess this is cutting in and out, but anyhow, I'm trying to get my...
If you move a little closer just because of the wireless. Thank you.
Since you were a past competitor in the ARCA series, when's the ARCA races? And you cut the races to 350 for the same money. How do you account for that?
Well, the ARCA race is on Thursday. ARCA's qualifying practice and event, or standalone event, on Thursday, and we quantify it because it's just not viable with one car, and also we're adding, for the same price, you're getting to see a Truck Series race and Xfinity Series race in the same day. It's $45 ticket to start. If your 20% renewal discount gets you inside that $30 window for two races, and you get four free kids tickets with it, so I think it's a pretty good value still.
Bob.
Scott, could you just clarify, would you not have considered the inversion unless a driver brought it up, and what was the process of the driver bringing that up?
Well, it was we have a series of meetings which the industry engages in. One of the meetings has some driver involvement, and it was first mentioned there, and actually kind of in several subsequent meetings, a topic, and got a lot of support. I mean, that's really as simple as it was. I think that we had thought of the concept, but really didn't, and would have probably eventually brought it up as a potential solution. But it was a lot easier when the first one to bring it up was a driver. So that actually helped it along.
And what's NASCAR's perspective on the distance of race one? Wait, do you think it'll fall somewhere around that length? Or?
Yes, absolutely. It will be somewhere in there. So, you know, one thing that everybody's got to realize is we're talking about a race weekend schedule that's a year away, and there's a lot of work that goes into these things. And honestly, to have every box checked a year in advance is pretty much a tall order.
Bob, you had a question?
Yeah, I had a few. Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. For Scott, did you all consider asking the teams to bring two cars? And because you're asking them to bring one car, will the tech on Sunday be pre-race tolerances, or would it be? Is there going to be any flexibility?
No, Sunday will be pre-race, and I'm pre-race tolerances. And really and truly, I mean the industry being the teams asked us to do it with one car pretty much, you know, and I think it's a more efficient play for everybody involved, and just it had, again, that's what we thought was the right answer, and then it had overwhelming support and the same meetings that I've discussed is they wanted to use one car.
And kind of unrelated, but you mentioned it in the Truck Series drivers meeting. You kind of warned them all about restarts. Was that in reaction to what you saw from the Amarola restart last week? And can you kind of go through what y'all's philosophy is, and if you're going to be kind of more heavy-handed going forward?
Well, it's our responsibility to make sure that and it was not only in response to that particular restart, but there's been more and more within all the series, not just the Cup Series, of, you know, trying to sort of push the limits. And it's our responsibility as NASCAR to keep it fair. And it's not our goal to really influence anybody's race. So basically what I did today in the truck meeting and we'll do again tomorrow in the Cup meeting is kind of reiterate what we're looking at. And if that means that we have to call some penalties to get it reined back in, that's what it means. But it's really just a kind of a refresher on what we're looking at and how we'll officiate it moving forward. And then, you know, it's our responsibility to do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the gist of what's going on. We've, you know, the responsibility of the leader is to maintain a constant speed into and through the restart zone until he decides to start the race. And I think something to the contrary has happened in a few cases, and we need to get that. You know, we're moving closer to the playoffs, and we just want to make sure we have all of this sorted out as we get there, so that doesn't become the story. Restarts, whether we called a penalty or whether we didn't. Just trying to get them to kind of get back to doing it right.
Move along the line there. You okay with the question? All right. Tim?
T- Tim Kettlefam at WRC Sports. Scott, first I have a question for you. Is there a way that you could clarify the rule change with the uncontrolled tire, clarifying exactly what now is going to be different moving forward as far as judgment is concerned, now that there is no going to be that subjective arm's length? So what exactly is going to be the basis for making a call as to what would be an uncontrolled tire moving forward?
Well, I think what we got to do is get back to everybody in here seeing a situation and it looks like an uncontrolled tire, honestly. Really, the way that we've talked to our officials is if the tire doesn't create a dangerous situation rolling somewhere where it's, you know, where it could create a safety issue or impede a fellow competitor's pit stop, then chances are we're not going to call that an uncontrolled tire. The tires that are rolling loose and potentially creating a dangerous situation are the ones that are going to be called. And I think that as we get into this and we start looking at the calls that are made and you look at the calls that are made, I think that in 99% of the cases, we're all going to be able to agree that that call is an uncontrolled tire. Whereas we had a hard time explaining the arm's length. There was a reason for that, and that's been in the rule book for a long time. But with the choreography of today's pit stops, it was kind of necessary for us to move away from that.
And then just one quick question for all three of you. I know you were talking about the scheduling and how you don't necessarily have a full schedule just yet, but as far as timing of each of these races and like how the day would look like, especially when you have several different races going on what day, do you have like an idea of how timing-wise the day would go?
Yeah, generally we do, but that's where it could flex a little bit, so we don't want to commit to any times. You know, qualifying will be earlier in the morning. The first race will be early afternoon, and then later in the afternoon we'll start the cup races. So I hate to be vague about it, but until we have a final, I don't, you know, want to just give you random information. But they're going to be spaced out. We're shooting for a nice break in between the two races so our grandstand ticket holders can still access the pit road and the front stretch for the driver introductions that they can do now with their coal pit passes that they can purchase. I just have to say I'm thrilled with the qualifying. I knew the invert was floating around for a while there, we all kind of had the same thing: is where do you cut it off? Where does it end? And to have the drivers come forth and to give this suggestion where so many cars could go and start charging from the back. I for one love watching the most talented drivers in the world come and make some incredible passes, and they're gonna have to do that to work their way to the front. So as a fan, I'm very excited to see that myself.
Hi, Chris Graham, National Racing Network, for Ben and Nick. Do you guys foresee any necessary infrastructure improvements, upgrades, or changes to the facility to accommodate a larger weekend like that going forward?
Not necessarily. I mean, like Ben said, we're going to increase our camping spots down in Turn 1. Incredible view down there, the way the track just sits up, and you can watch it right from set down low. Other than that, we're constantly improving. I mean, if you guys see every year, we got a little something that we kind of surprise you with here, whether it be the playground, the activity center, you know, new camping spots, anything like that, modern camping spots. So we're always looking at new things. And yeah, I have a few ideas, but I got to get it past the board first, so we'll see.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times-Tribune. First, for Nick, not to be a downer, has any contingency plan been put into place in case weather or delays or anything like that?
You are being a downer, Scott. Thank you.
Okay, well then I'll be the guy. I'll be the downer.
The short answer is not yet. We're way too far out to see. I think broadcast plays a big role in when we can reschedule. But you know, that's why we have that worry-free weather guarantee. You know, purchase the ticket. If you can't make it to the race, we're going to send you your money back. I mean, I don't think it gets any simpler than that.
And for Scott, could you clarify the lapped cars? Are they also going to be inverted when the lineup is set for race two?
So, again, that's probably another thing that's a little bit down the road as far as what we'll do with those. You know, just thinking about it is starting the lap down cars in the order they finished seems to probably be what we would do.
Nick, this is for you. This is Alan Paquette from the Racing Times. You said ARC is going to be running on Thursday. They actually lose a race, or are you going to add them on, say, like on an Indy weekend?
No, unfortunately, our IndyCar schedule is still in flux as well. We don't have a commitment from them for 20 or 21 yet, so we can't really tack them on. So right now, it'll be only one ARCA race here at Pocono.
Right next.
Thank you. Harry Auto Racing News for Scott. You're talking about the invert after the first race. How will you be handling pit road selection on that
Pit road selection will go off the original qualifying and remain the same throughout the weekend.
If Zach has a follow-up here.
First for Nick, regarding the IndyCar situation, is there a time you're looking to have that committed by for next year or the following?
Yeah, before the scheduled date of next year. The ball's in their court. We want it back. We got some ideas that we threw, so we're just waiting to hear back. And I knew they had some other things they were working on, but we've been in communication. And if the cards align, great. If they don't, there's some options we're looking at for that as well. So I'd love to have them back. I love seeing those cars race here, man. It's some unbelievable sensation of speed just from watching them dive into turn one. So hopefully they come back.
And then, Scott, we saw Alex Bowman have a situation last week where he went through both his primary and his backup. I suppose this is more of a question for the teams as to how they would handle a situation like that. But if they crash in practice and then also wreck in the first race, does NASCAR have any say in how that procedure goes to then set up for race two?
We don't really. So what I think I'm pretty certain that what happened with them needing a third car is they used one of their teammates' backup cars to do that. And I mean that we're certainly, you know, going to be lenient in a situation like this as far as, you know, being as flexible as we can with the teams. And you know, most of them, it's not out of the question that they could actually crash on Saturday and bring a fully prepared car still from North Carolina and have it here by Sunday morning. So I think that would go on a team by team basis of how they wanted to handle, you know, a crisis situation.
Do we have any final questions?
Scott, will they have to use the same engine, or can they, you know, or just general engine rules in effect, and you have to use whatever your allotment?
So all those details of rear ends and transmissions and engines and all that, again, like it's a year out. So we haven't done our brainstorming session and figured out all the small details for all that stuff, but I would, you know. I think they could elect to change the engine. We give them their car back. So, you know, it's going to kind of be free reign. But I think a lot of them are looking, you know, with the sealed engine rules, I think most everybody would be looking at running the same engine for both races and getting that seal count checked off in one weekend.
Scott, if it's a success next year, what's the likelihood NASCAR might implement this at another track in 21?
So I am not in the discussions that actually sort of got this doubleheader across the line. That's like more senior management than me and broadcasters and tracks and everybody else. But I think that certainly this is something that as an industry we are going to try, and if it's a great success, I mean, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't kind of expand the concept.
Any final questions? Well, thank you everyone for joining us. We appreciate it. We look forward to the rest of this weekend, and of course, seeing you 2020 NASCAR doubleheader weekend. Thank you.